Moment today, and I want to think of how depressing it must be for the enemy to have thought that you were dead, and then on that resurrection morning to look in that tomb and see an empty grave. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the living hope, not the dead hope, not wood, not stone, not a carved image, but a living God who is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. Lord Jesus, I pray you would strengthen our faith today, that, Lord, you would expel doubt and fear and worry, but that, Lord, you would give us hope, because you are our hope. And Father, we heard last week in the message that praise is always the correct response. Job said, I was naked when I came into the world. Naked, I'm going to leave this world. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we just love you. We worship you today. And Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would move in Jesus' name today. Amen. Good morning. If you're visiting with us today, if you're here for the first time, there's a card in front of you on the backs of the chairs, a connection card. If you fill that out on your way out, if you'd stop at the visitor's desk in back, we just want to welcome you here, and we're glad that you came to worship with us. I also want to thank you for your tithes and your offerings, okay? Your faithfulness to God keeps this ministry running, and we just thank God for your faithfulness. It's very important, not just for this church, but also for you, because it moves on God's heart to take care of us when we're faithful to him. So we just want to thank you for your faithfulness. The room back here, everybody's been going, what is that thing? That's the wiggle room. If you go on Facebook, Riley demonstrated it really well a week or two ago. And then I heard we put him in there, and he yelled as loud as he could, and we didn't hear him either. And so, parents, the wiggle room's open. If your children are in here, and if they make a fuss and you're not comfortable putting them in the nursery or in the children's ministry, you can take them in the wiggle room, and you'll be able to hear everything going on here. You'll be able to see everything going on here, but we won't be able to hear them. And so that was our goal in doing this, so you can be comfortable. But there's another big reason for it. I thought about this. Over the last 20-some years in ministry, inevitably, the Holy Spirit will be ready to move, and there will be a disturbance. I can't tell you how many times I've seen this, and the person maybe that needs the most to hear something or to be moved upon or to come to the altar will have to deal with something. And so I want to respect God's presence. It's very, very important. And so that's another reason that we built that. Because we want God to work. We want God to move. And we love children, but they can make a lot of noise. And so that's our reasoning, okay? Men's ministry on target, men's breakfast and paintball is Saturday at 8 a.m. next Saturday, this coming Saturday. I don't know the date exactly. Is it up there? The 6th, very good, and it's at Bixler's home. The address is in the bulletin, so men, beware of that. It's a good father-son thing also. Food drive, help restock our food pantry October 6th and 7th. You can bring your food and put it out here in the foyer, and it will help out our food pantry. Our harvest picnic is coming up next Sunday. Bring a dish to share, and all. We also need volunteers. There's a list of the things we need volunteers for, all right? And you can sign up on the bulletin out in back, okay? So with that, if you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to do the first 7 verses, okay? Peter is writing. I want you to know there's no break in the chapter, and so he's writing. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. He says, "Wives, in the same way, submit to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." Father, we need the power of your Holy Spirit today. And Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us into all truth, biblical truth today, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Is this text full of landmines?" Woo! When the preacher drew this out of the hat, he was like, "Oh boy. Oh yeah." So here's your first point. Because in the past parts of the text, Peter's talking about submission, all right, in the previous text. In the same way that Peter tells elect exiles to submit to authority, slaves to submit to their masters, and Jesus submitted to die on the cross, wives are to submit to their husbands. You see, it's in the same context. It's in the context. There's no chapter break there. It's in the context of submitting to the authority. A couple weeks ago, we talked about submitting to the authority, all authority that God has put over you. And it was very quiet in here when I said that we need to submit to our president, Donald Trump, to the authority God's given him. You could have heard a pin drop. But it's what the scripture says. And then he goes on to say, "Slaves, submit to your masters." And he says, not to just the ones that treat you kindly, but submit to the ones that treat you harshly. And then he gives us the example of Jesus, who submitted to death on the cross so we could be set free. And then Peter just had to make it tougher on us. And he says, "Wives, in the same way." In the same way, submit. So, being in the pinch I'm in right now, I never claimed to be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I thought, you are always used to hearing blue words speaking to pink ears on this. And I went to Emerson Eggerich's class, Love and Respect. I've been through it 7 or 8 times now. I'm going to get it one next time. But I thought, I should let pink words speak to pink ears and blue ears. And so, Jennifer, come on up. I've asked Jennifer Myers to come up and to share this part of the message, and then I'm going to come back and finish up on the last verse. But here's the point. We need to get this truth. The church needs to get the truth. If we want the power that God wants to give to us, we need to tackle the text, and we need to get it straight. So, Jennifer, take it away.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm very humbled and, frankly, intimidated to be up here. You guys are used to hearing Bill. I don't speak to people. I work in my office quietly by myself, and I like it that way. And I have to say, I feel a little bit baited being up here, because a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Dave was talking to Bill and a couple other people after service and said, you know, next week we have Jeff Grinnell, but the next week, that's going to be a tough one. And he said it was on submission. And I said what I've told him before. Oh, my gosh, I love that subject. We so misunderstand it. And he said to Bill, he goes, watch your face. I want a girl to speak on it. So here I am. And we're going to tackle this one, okay? So why do I like talking about submission? It honestly, let's be honest, it's one of the cringiest, most misunderstood, most uncomfortable subjects today in Scripture. It's one that pastors, I love that Pastor Dave doesn't shy away from anything, but most pastors would really prefer a redacted Bible at this point and just kind of gloss over it and skip to the next one, right? This is one that if you brought a visitor today, you've probably already apologized to them, or you're thinking about how you're going to apologize to them, or you're thinking, gosh, I really like that person, now I need to find a new friend, right? So I get it, but we're going to tackle it, and we're going to tackle it the way God wants us to understand it. When I was younger, I didn't understand submission. I wasn't raised for submission. It didn't make sense to me. I'm not weak or little. I'm not mousy or indecisive. I run our house, but I also manage a market. I'm the director of marketing for a big company in town. I manage a $5 million budget. I have 7 managers that report to me. My name's Jennifer instead of Jenny. My dad wanted me to name me Jenny. My mom said, no, Jennifer would look better on a business card. That's why my name's Jennifer. Submitting to your husband growing up always sound archaic and oppressive and frankly offensive. I didn't get it. But as I was growing up, I started wrestling with it. When I was in my 30s, I have an older brother, Eric, who in his 20s, he converted to Judaism. And he started down a path of kind of a reformed path and decided to dive in headfirst, and he raises his family as an Orthodox Jew, which if you know that lifestyle, it's not easy in America. And I asked him one day in my 30s, I said, why didn't you take this easier path of being reformed? Why did you do this? And he said something that kind of struck me. He said, as I was learning God's word and who God is, I decided that it wasn't up to me which parts of his word I would follow. I needed to have it all. And that kind of set me on a path, because I kind of thought, wow, there are things in Scripture that I kind of pick and choose. You know, I don't want to do that. That one doesn't, that's a little scratchy. So I started wrestling with this subject in particular. When Bill and I were first dating, he said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, when you become my wife, you'll be more my wife than you are your father's daughter. And you'll be more my wife than you are your children's mother. And I have to say, my reaction was like in the cartoon when the devil and the angel pop up on your shoulder, right? I think I kept a straight face. I don't know that Bill knew I was thinking this, but it was like, what is he talking about? You're your own woman. What do you mean he's going to be more your wife than anything else? But thankfully, I listened to this side. And this side wasn't really telling me what to do. It was just saying, wait, quiet down, listen, figure this out. There's good in this. Understand what he's talking about. You know, last week, if you were here, we had Jeff Grinnell speaking. If you weren't here, go to our website. It was a great message. You don't want to miss it. But he said one thing in particular that kind of struck me, and I asked him if I could use this line, and this is your first point in the outline. He said, if we build our lives around culture and not around Scripture, we're going to miss God's plan. Listen, friends, the enemy knows Scripture really, really well. He knows how to twist it and distort it and give us enough truth and then manipulate it to drive a wedge between us and God, and frankly, us and each other. If you don't believe me, let's jump really quickly to Genesis 2, right? One of the first commands God gives is, says, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat it, you will surely die. Do you know how long it took the enemy to twist that? 9 verses. 9 verses, that's it. It wasn't like you know, Genesis 18, we fell. No, 9 verses and sin entered the world. He said 9 verses later, did he really say that? And here we are. We still are being baited by him and letting him manipulate scripture. So there's 2 things I really want to share today when we talk about submission in particular, but when we talk about other uncomfortable scriptures also. First, what submission really means and what it really doesn't mean. And we'll get to that in a moment. The second one, though, is that we really need to accept and even embrace that the enemy and people have used the misinterpretation of Scripture to destroy our relationships with God and with each other. And why do I say embrace that? Not to encourage the twisting, not to go along with it, but we need so that we can be wise and we can lean into God's word and we can lean into who he is and really understand what the world is saying and what they think and what God meant for us to understand and to be able to explain and reconcile that difference. There's plenty of scriptures in this Bible that we like, that we put on plaques and we put on mugs and we put on Facebook posts. You are never going to see wives submit to your husband on a mug in the gift shop. It's scratchy. It's uncomfortable. It offends non-believers. It offends believers, right? People don't understand how we can possibly go along with this archaic notion, right? We must want to hold women down and keep them as second-class citizens, maybe even worse. So we avoid the scriptures like this. We avoid the confrontation. We turn away. We avert our eyes. We just let the world say what they say, and we just quietly be quiet. And when we do that, we allow our friends and our family that have questions about who God is and who Jesus is to remain lost in their questions. We can't do that. So I want to encourage us all to lean into the scriptures that make the world uncomfortable. We need to understand them through the wholeness of God's love, who he is and who we are, so that we can offer the love and hope of Jesus through our explanations. So next point in your outline is that we need to understand if a scripture is making you feel uncomfortable, there's one of 2 reasons. One is conviction. And I'm not going to talk about that too much today, but I'll give you a quick example. If you're embezzling from your company, and you read the scripture that says, thou shalt not steal, and you feel a little pit in your stomach, that's conviction. Stop it. Move around. Do what God says, right? The second reason is what we're talking about today. If scripture's making you uncomfortable and it's a scratchy scripture like this, it's because you're looking at it with worldly ears and through a cultural lens. Listen, church, God is love. God is good. These words are so inadequate to describe who he is, but he wants the best for us and he works out the best for us, period. The entire Bible is the inspired word of God, true and right, ever consistent with his character. It's written so that we can know him and love him and trust him and follow him. And if we're reading a scripture that makes you feel less than, or second class, or unwanted, or insignificant, we need to lean in and find the whole truth through God's love. The next point in your outline is this: if we are ineffective in sharing or demonstrating the gospel and the love of Jesus, if we don't answer the tough questions, if our only answer is it's God's way, God's ways are greater than ours. Those answers aren't wrong, and believing in those answers just on the wholeness of God's truth is fine, but that does not answer the world's questions, okay? The media puts us against that. The media has a big argument of why the world's ways are right, and all you hear in the media is the church saying, that's not right. We don't believe that. And so it's shown that God hates people, that we hate people. And that's not it. We need to answer these questions more fully. We're here to reach the lost, and we need to be able to explain to them what we're saying. 1 Corinthians 2:14 just illustrates this. It says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. Does that sound familiar to you when you turn on the news and they're depicting what Christians believe? We're not explaining it well. Your next point in the outline is, in order to win the lost, and frankly not lose the young, we need to embrace that we're in the world and not of the world. Which means we need to understand, not believe, but understand what the world's saying so that we can effectively unleash the fullness and the power and the truth of God's love and God's holy word on the lies of the enemy in a way that people can understand and trust and respect. We need to understand who God is and who he says we are and work at a deeper understanding of these scratchy, uncomfortable scriptures through his filter. Our purpose as Christians is, frankly, pretty simple. It's to know and worship God, to follow Jesus in all we do, to demonstrate his love to everyone around us, to share the gospel with the lost, introducing them to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we cannot do that if we shy away from the topics that our culture sees as unsavory. If we allow ourselves and those around us to be offended by certain scriptures and we start avoiding them, then we allow ourselves and those around us to start chipping away at the absolute truth in God's word. And if you can chip away at some things, it's not a far cry to start chipping away at the rest. We can't do it. So let's jump into submission, because it is a controversy, right? Before we read Peter again, I want to give you a clear example of what a submissive wife looks like. Okay, so if you want to turn to Proverbs 31 with me, I'm going to read chapter 10 through the end of the chapter. A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships, bringing food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate when he takes a seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. That's not a mouse, is it? So let's go back to 1 Peter with her in mind. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence in your lives. So to go on with this, make sure we're not looking at it culturally, we need to define what submission really is. To submit, this is a point in your outline, to submit means to be willing to give someone authority in your life. It's a choice. It's an active choice out of love and respect. First, this has certainly been used by men and women alike to keep women down, right? And we've got it wrong. That was never the intention of God. Submission is not weakness. It's not oppression. Submission is not being helpless and indecisive and ineffective. Let me be clear, if you're in an abusive relationship and you're being told you just need to submit to that, that is not God's plan, that is not God's will, that is not what he means. And if you're in that situation, man or woman alike, there are people in this church that will help you restore your marriage and get out of that. That's domination. That's not submission. You can't force someone into godly submission. Just like God won't force us to love and follow him, he wants a joyful and willing heart. The next point in the outline is men and women are equals. Different role, but equals in God's eyes. Don't forget, the book of Peter is one continuous letter. Peter had it read to the churches all at once, men and women alike, right? We don't do that, we break it up, because none of us are going to give Pastor Dave 12 hours at a time, right? So we break it up. But just a few verses before this, Peter told everyone in the church, men and women alike, that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God's special possession. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about wives submit to your husband is a willingness to give your husband authority. God ordained the family that the husband is the head of the house. And I cleared this line with Pastor Dave. Ladies, we are the neck. And we can influence and turn the head if we're in godly submission. Let me read one little, quick little verse in Corinthians. Corinthians 11, chapter 11. In the Lord, however, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as a woman came from man, so also man is born of women. But everything comes from God. So if you're cringing right now with the head of the household thing, don't breathe. Let's lean in. Let's understand how God wants us to work at. The woman in the Proverbs 31 did not check with her husband on every little thing, right? It said she considered a field and bought it. Now I can imagine that conversation. It wasn't, oh my gosh, I really want to buy this field. I'm going to go home. I'm going to make sure the house is clean. I'm going to make his favorite dessert and make sure the game's on and we don't interrupt him, and then maybe I'll ask him if I can buy the field. That wasn't it. I wasn't there, but I know that wasn't it, because that's not a submissive relationship. That's not a relationship built out of mutual trust and love and respect. It was probably more like this. It was probably like, hey, honey, I'm thinking about buying that field. Oh, yeah? Do you think it's a good price? I do. You know, I looked at the comps in the neighborhood and everything, and that's what I buy the field. Okay, what are you going to do with the field? Well, I think if I hold on to it for 6 months, I can probably parlay the profits into a vineyard. Okay, go for it. That's probably more what it was like. A marriage isn't 50-50. It's 100-100. And it's not 100 for the man and 100 for the women. It's 100-100. Okay? Who does the housekeeping chores and all that sort of stuff has nothing to do with this topic of submission. Out of love and trust and respect, first to God and then to our husbands, we respect our husband's authority in our lives and treat them with our godly character. Wives, ladies, listen. Actually, everybody listen, but wives, ladies in particular, because we cringe at this verse. Your husbands, your family, your church, your community, your jobs, your parents, everything around you, we all need you to work and operate in the whole power with all the talents, all the smarts, all the everything that God knit into you. Submitting to your husbands should not diminish all of that power. It should amplify it, frankly. Submitting to your husbands, unfortunately, for some, isn't conditional on your husband's behavior either. That's what we're specifically talking about in Peter. Peter's talking to exiles, and many of them were married to non-Christians. So he was saying, no matter what your husband's doing, we submit to them out of our godly character, right? He mentioned Sarah in that, and Sarah actually isn't married to a non-Christian. Actually, neither one of them are Christian, right? But says Sarah submitted to Abraham. Abraham made some pretty doofy mistakes, didn't he? Sarah did too. But out of love and trust and respect, first to God, then to Abraham, Sarah submitted to him. Okay? I have there's a lot of you in here that sit alone and wish your husbands or wives, frankly, would join you here in church. This passage is what Peter's talking about. Show your godly character to your spouse, and they will come to know Christ. If you're one of those who are alone here, I want to encourage you really quickly with a story. I have a friend who many of you know, but I won't share her name, whose husband was not serving the Lord some years ago, and they were struggling in their marriage. And she said, there was a time I thought I do not need to submit to him because he's not submitting to God. She said she read this chapter in particular, and one day she read it, and it actually said, Sally, submit to your husband. So if you're here hoping your spouse joins you and you're showing your godly character, I want to encourage you, because there's a lot of couples in this room today. You don't know it, but that spouse was prayed into the chair they're in right now, in the same situation you're in right today. Before I get to my final point, Pastor Dave said I couldn't skip verse 3 and 4. Said, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is what the holy women of the past put their hope in God, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. You know, this is clear. Your value does not come from your outward beauty. And our society very much values outward beauty, right? I say that devil and angel pop up every morning in the mirror for me. Oh my goodness, you're leaving the house with those wrinkles and that gray hair. And the angel says, girl, you're 49. Get over it. That's not where your value is. So just know, what we need to focus on in the mirror every morning is, are you patient? Are you kind? Are you not envious, boastful, or proud? Do you always protect, always trust, always love, always hope? Getting back to the scratchy scriptures, though, this is one that the church, many people use against women also, right? Have you heard this before? I cannot believe she's wearing that makeup. Can you believe she would wear that dress? Church, that's not what Peter's saying. Peter's not saying, don't be pretty. That's not it. He's saying that's not where your value lies. That's not where your character is. It's just your outward appearance. Whatever you want it to be, have it be. Back to Sarah. I think Peter specifically matches Sarah in the scripture, because scripture does not shy away from the fact that Sarah was a knockout. She was beautiful. She was so beautiful that Abraham feared for his life that women would kill him so they could get Sarah. But we value Sarah's example not because she was a pretty, pretty girl. We value her because of her character. And that's what Peter's explaining to us in the scripture. So my last point, I just want to get back to submission to a moment, and I want to take the pressure off of us wives for a moment. Because if we leave this room thinking submission is only talking to the wives, I've failed. This command to submit to authority isn't only for us. We're told we need to submit our will to Jesus, to our mothers and fathers, to each other, to our pastors, to our elders, to our government, to our bosses, whoever has authority in our lives. We're submit to our authority to that, right? So let's not allow culture to let us get worked up on this one little scripture. Let's not let it allow us any longer. There's a principle we all need to understand, and this is your last point in the outline. The degree to which you submit to authority is the degree to which you can transmit authority. Let me read one more scripture for you. James 4:7, if I can find it. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We'll say really often, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Submit yourselves then to God. And resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Submission is first. Submission is always first in our lives, to wherever that is. The most influential, effective people I know get this right. They wake up in the morning knowing that they've got nothing if they don't submit their lives to Christ, and then whoever Christ told him to submit to. That's what godly submission looks like. It's using all of your strength, all of your power, all of your influence, all of your talents, doing whatever it is you do, but in complete, willing, joyful, trusting, respectful submission, first to God, then to whoever else he's put there. I've heard people say that they don't submit to anyone except Jesus. You know what? If that's you, you're doing it wrong. Having a joyful willingness to respect others and giving them authority in their lives is what we're all called to do as Christians. It's what Peter's been talking about through today's text and throughout the whole book. So if you're someone who has trouble being submissive, God's definition of submissive, loving, respectful, trusting, willing to give authority in your life, not the world's definition of submissive, which is mousy and oppressed. Okay? If you're having trouble with that, I need to ask you a question, and this is a scratchy one, and you can sit with it. But do you keep Jesus only as your Savior? Or have you truly made him your Lord? Because he calls us all to submit to authorities in our lives. So, church, this is a tough scripture, and I've probably only scratched it for you. But I really want to encourage us all, lean in to these uncomfortable ones. Lean in and really find the full explanation so that when you're meeting with someone who has a question, you don't shy away. You can give the whole explanation, God's explanation, on these scratchy scriptures. It's the only way we're going to change the world. And I'll give it back to Pastor Dave on that.
Thank you, Jen. All right, so I get one verse. Verse 7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Your point in your outline, husbands must strive to understand and value their wives. When you read this in different translations, it says, husbands, live with your wives with understanding. When was the last time you tried to understand your wife, husbands, and not change her? When was the last time you said, Lord, this beautiful, precious, lovely lady you've given to me, I just don't understand her, and ask God to help you? It's very important. Peter says, live with them with understanding. Strive to understand and then value their lives. It says, be considerate or understanding as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. What that word means in the original language is to value them for their worth. Look at them and value them and treat them as your most valuable friend, your most valuable relationship. I mean, this text has messed me up for a whole week or more now. Because I have to ask myself, do I value my wife? And you come to the place where you say, if she weren't there, what would life be like? And I'm here to tell you, I'm starting to value. Because that's what the scripture tells us to do. I'm asking for understanding. It's so important, church, that we do this. It says in there, as the weaker partner. There's a scratchy one. I think we're weaker. The only way my wife is weaker than I am is I can lift more than she can and I can take some lids off she can't get off. You listening? Other than that, I'm sorry to say she's going to whoop me every time. And like Jen said, we're equal. When it comes to the grace of God, it's in the text, you see. Heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. We're there. The next one is this. Strife between a husband and wife hinders prayer. It hinders prayer. Peter says, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. I used to think this was just for men, but when I look at this and I meditate on it, and I say, Lord, what does that really mean? Husbands, how many times and how many days and how many prayers do you pray to get your wife to do what you want her to do? Wives, how many hours do you spend in prayer trying to get your husband to agree with you? And how many times do we leave God out of the quotient, out of the equation, and forget to ask him together? And you know what it does? It sets up discord in our marriages and in our lives. And we don't agree. And then the devil wins because it says, if two of us on earth would agree upon anything. Hello? And we don't understand the power we have as married couples if we would agree. But instead, we spend so much time trying to get our spouse to come our way, and we forget about God. And what we need to do is the three of us come together, husband, wife, God, and say, hey, Lord, what do you have for us? Wow. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 7 will say you'll have mutual consent. Ooh. And I have to tell you, I'm terrible at this. When I'm in intense fellowship with my wife over something, I'm asking God, will you get her straight? And his answer is, yeah, if you were right, I would. But hello, you see this? So it's my prayer this morning that we understand this. And we would stop the enemy in his bid to break up relationships, okay? So as we close this morning, I have to ask you about submission to authority. Number one, have you submitted to the authority of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? It's a great point that Jen made. Is he just your Savior? Did you accept Jesus Christ? Have you prayed a prayer? Do you come to church? Do you try to do what's right so you can escape hell? A lot of people do it. The bigger step is he your Lord? Did you say, Lord, what do you have for me today? What would you have me do today? How would you have me do it? That's key. If you have not submitted to the authority of God Almighty and to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, start submitting today. If you've never prayed a prayer of salvation before you walk out the back door, come and speak to one of us. Speak to myself, Bill, Jen, Pastor Steve, Pastor Riley. Speak to somebody next to you. They'll lead you in a prayer to Jesus. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's submission. It's bowing your knee to the Savior, making Jesus your Lord. Then how are you doing with the rest of authority? I'm thinking of last week's message. How are you doing with God's decision with things going on in your life? Have you submitted to them or are you fighting them? I made up my mind, no matter what happens for the rest of the day, I'm going to praise God. Think that one through, sports fans. That brings it into play, doesn't it? I'm going to praise God. Riley lost something valuable last week. He called in and he asked if we could go look for it, so I went and I found it, and I took a picture of it, and I sent him a picture, and I said, what's this worth to you? You know what his reply was? He said, I want you to know I was praising God even while it was lost, and I'm praising God now. He listened last week, didn't he? Father, I ask you to take your word today. I ask you to accomplish what you sent it to do in each and every one of us. And then, Lord, I pray for you to restore your power back to your church. That as your bride, we would submit. And that husbands and wives would find joy in their relationships through submitting one to the other, praying with each other, and coming to mutual consent with you, Lord Jesus, in the middle. And then, Father, the whole point of what Peter said for the wives to submit was to win their husbands. Father, let your bride win the lost. Let us win the lost, Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, for your honor and glory. Amen. If you need prayer, we're here to pray. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, God bless you. Go in peace to love and serve our God.